Matthew 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any of the oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil with them in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is inspired by your Holy Spirit and is true, your very own message to us. So we pray that by the same Holy Spirit we may understand it and believe it and take it to our hearts and submit to what it teaches. And so be ready for the return of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The story is told of a Scottish fishing village. There was a terrible storm one night, and the fishermen were out on the sea. It was wild, but they managed to get back to safety, and as they approached the shore, they could just see the village. And as they got closer, they could see some people. They couldn't work out who they were, but they could see they were people looking out to sea. As they got closer, they realized it was their wives. One of them said, "Look, there's Peter's Anne. Look, John, there's Barbara." And they all went round and recognized their wives, except for one. His wife wasn't there. So when they got back to the shore, he trudged up the hill to his cottage. His wife opened the door and she said, "I waited for you." But he said, But the other wives watched for their husbands. This section of Matthew's Gospel is about the return of Jesus. The Bible teaches that in Jesus, God entered the world. God came to be our Savior. Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, taking the punishment for all the things that we've done wrong. He rose again from the dead to show that sin and death are defeated. He returned to heaven. But one day, he will come back to earth to destroy evil once and for all, and to usher in God's perfect kingdom. And the point of today's story, today's parable, which Robbie read to us, is that we must be ready when Jesus returns. We must be like the wives watching for the fishermen. Well, three things to say. They're on the backs of your sheets, on the notice sheets. Be wise, not foolish. Be ready, not unready. Be welcomed, not turned away. Firstly then, be wise, not foolish, verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. One thing that is common to all weddings is waiting. It could be waiting for the bride, although the brides for the weddings I've taken at Christchurch have all been admirably punctual. It could be waiting for the photographer. It could be waiting to be called in for the wedding breakfast. But here, in this wedding, the 10 virgins, who are the bridesmaids, well, they're waiting for the bridegroom. So men, if we lived in this Middle Eastern culture, we could get our own back and keep everyone waiting. Perhaps he was haggling with his father-in-law over the bride price. Well, verse 2, 5 of them, the bridesmaids, were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. This mattered. It mattered how much oil they had because, verse 5, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. So be wise, not foolish. Secondly, be ready, not unready. Verse 6. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Verse 7. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, verse 9. "There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." Be wise, not foolish. Be ready, not unready. And thirdly, be welcomed, not turned away. Verse 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. Later, verse 11, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I didn't know you." Verse 13, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Be wise, not foolish. Be ready, not unready. Be welcomed, not turned away. Some of you will have heard Mike Meller when he spoke to us at Letton Hall. Mike was a journalist, and he had a Christian colleague who prayed for Mike and spoke about Jesus with Mike. And this friend used to write Christian leaflets, Christian tracts, and ask Mike to proofread them. One of these leaflets was about the second coming of Jesus, and it featured a bus conductor saying, "Too late! Too late! The bus has departed." Wouldn't it be awful if any of us was not ready when Jesus comes back? Back in the days before the internet, which wasn't all that long ago, instead of Googling something, say we needed a plumber or a carpenter, we would look in a book called Yellow Pages. Remember that? I think it still exists. And there used to be an advert for Yellow Pages on TV. In the advert, a teenage boy is left alone while his parents go on holiday. He has all his friends round, and they cause, frankly, a dreadful mess. Everything is ruined. What can the boy do? His parents will soon be home. He'll be in big trouble. Well, what he does is he reaches for the Yellow Pages, and he finds all the people he needs. He finds a carpet cleaner, a French polisher, and so on. And everything gets done in the nick of time. Except he suddenly notices there are glasses and a moustache drawn on the portrait on the wall. Well, in the same way, there is a date set when Jesus will return. We don't want to be in a mad panic at the last minute. Be wise, not foolish. Be ready, not unready. Be welcomed, not turn away. Well, let's think about these things in a little more depth. Firstly, be wise, not foolish. How can we be wise? Well, don't be swayed by the foolishness of our society. Our society says Jesus can't possibly be coming back. After all, where is he? It's been 2,000 years. But verse 5 is very clear with us. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. Jesus never promised to come back straight away. 2 Peter 3 is instructive. I think it's on the screen. Verse 3. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Where is Jesus' return?" And the next one, Ben. But verse 8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So the wise person understands God is not slow at all. God is eternal. God has no beginning, no ending. It's nothing for God to wait for 2,000 years. The Anglican prayer book, written by the reformers in the 16th century, calculates the date of Easter all the way up to the year 8050. So clearly, the reformers didn't think God was being slow. the reason God has delayed the return of Jesus is so that many more people can come to be saved. Once Jesus returns, it will be too late. And so, God has delayed things because he wants everyone to come to repentance. The wise person understands all this. The wise person lives their life in the light of Christ's return. So be wise, not foolish. Secondly, be ready, not unready. I don't know if you remember the story of Ethelred, the unready. Ethelred the unready, or Ethelred the second, lived from around 968 to the 23rd of April, 1016. He was the king, of the English, twice, between 978 and 1013, and again between 1014 and 1016. He was the son of King Edgar the Peaceful. Sounds nice, doesn't it? And Queen Elfthryth. I'm not going to try and say that again. He was between 10 and 13 years old when his half-brother, Edward the Martyr, was murdered on the 18th of March, 978. Although Ethelred was not personally suspected of the murder was committed at Corfe Castle, if you've been there, by his attendants. And this made it more difficult for the new king to rally the nation against the military raids by the Danes, especially as the legend of Saint Edward, now the martyr, grew. Well, from 991 onwards, Ethelred paid tribute, or Danegeld, to the Danish king. And he did a silly thing. In 1002, Ethelred ordered what became known as the St. Brice's Day Massacre of Danish settlers. This was a disaster. In 1003, King Swain Forkbeard of Denmark invaded England, as a result of which Ethelred fled to Normandy in 1013 and was replaced by Swain. He would return as king after Swain's death in 1014. Now, I have to tell you at this point, unready is a mistranslation of the old English word unread, meaning bad counseled. A twist on his name, Ethelred, meaning noble counseled. So Ethelred was not unprepared, but rather ill-advised. Well, anyway, it was a disaster. And let's be honest, he wasn't ready. He didn't expect to become king. He wasn't ready to face the Danes. And so it was a disaster. Now, we mustn't be like Ethelred. We mustn't be unready. How can we be ready for the return of Jesus? Well, in the story, the wise virgins have plenty of oil. I did wonder if we should sing tonight, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning," but good sense prevailed. The application of this for us is we need to be ready for Jesus' return. And we do that by making him king today. We want him to find us already living with him as king when he returns. it will be too late to make Jesus king when he comes again. Many people think, I'll enjoy my youth. I'll get right with God when I'm old. I'll live a bit. Then I'll be sensible and get right with God. That is very foolish. For one thing, the best parties are with Jesus. I really believe that. The kingdom of God, the reunion of Jesus with his people, is depicted here as a feast. In several places in the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the bridegroom. We are the bride. He loves us. That's good, isn't it? He loves us. He's coming back to be with us. And we will have the best party ever. It's not more fun to live without Jesus. If you've got Jesus, you can enjoy all that life has to offer. But you do it Jesus' way. And Jesus meets our fundamental needs for meaning and purpose. I don't need to meet my fundamental need with drink or sex or career or sport or music. I can have all those things, provided Jesus is Lord and I'm obeying him. So, for example, if I want to have sex, I get married. But my fundamental needs are met by Jesus. Drink and sex and so on cannot meet my fundamental need. If Jesus is not my king, I won't be ready for his return. And thirdly, be welcomed, not turned away. Look on to verse 21. What we all want to hear when we die or when Jesus returns is Jesus saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. What we don't want to hear is what the foolish, unready virgins hear. The bridegroom has arrived. The foolish virgins are out shopping for oil. They must have had 24-hour Tesco. The virgins come back to the feast. The door is locked. They bang on the door. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I didn't know you. That's what you don't want to hear when Jesus returns. One of my guilty secrets in life is I'm a Cliff Richard fan. I know. I went to hear him in the Albert Hall last year. I listened to him when I'm doing the washing up. When I was a boy, one of the Cliff Richard songs that made most impression on me was called Thief in the Night. The words say this: I could talk for hours, but you wouldn't hear a word. Your own opinions make you blind. There will come a morning when the sand has all run out. There will be no time to change your mind. Like a thief in the night, he will come. There will be nowhere left you can run. You can fall with the night, or you can rise with the sun. He will come in glory, a rider in the sky. The lion and the lamb rest side by side. children of the kingdom, he will gather to himself. Children of the darkness, he will leave behind. Like a thief in the night, he will come. There will be nowhere left you can run. You can fall with the night, or you can rise with the sun. That's based on 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. A thief doesn't make an appointment. He comes when you least expect him. So will you be shocked and horrified when Jesus returns? Or will you welcome him as your king? Be wise, not foolish. Be ready, not unready. Be welcomed, not turned away. Let's pray. And a moment of silence for each one of us to speak to the Lord. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Do you need to speak to him? Make him your king. Make him your savior. Pray for those you know are not ready. Father, hear our prayers. Would we all be wise, ready for the return of Christ, and therefore welcomed into your presence and not turned away. For Jesus' sake, amen.